Welcome back, brothers and sisters, patriots across this incredible nation. This is Positively American, where we celebrate and drink down the cup of liberty that was given upon us in order to give it to the next generation. The podcast, Positively American, where we not only talk about what's going on in the nation politic, what's going on in the news, but also how we're going to fix this bad boy together. I'm your host, Braden Langley, and we are going to talk about some exceedingly important topics today. We've got Biden coming out and trying to reestablish his bona fides with the left around debt reform, in other words, giving money to people because they didn't deserve it and they can't fulfill their obligations. And on the other side, we have Trump's abortion ban stance, which has evolved. This one is a really big piece. And if we have time, we have a delicious piece of dessert about the Rock Effect, which I don't know if we're going to get to, but we're going to kick it to the intro, and we have got a show you are going to love. Let's get it. All right, beautiful people. Hello to each and every one of you. My name is Braden Langley. And we are about to explore the conservative side of this political spectrum like never done before, because we hold so much amazing privilege. That's right, I said it. Privilege and blessings in the cups that we hold in liberty, in freedom that no other nation has had before us, that we have no other choice but to pass it on. So what we're going to do is do just that. To each one of you, your stalwart, more seasoned veterans of the fight for our rights, all the way down to the little saplings of freedom who are going to eventually inherit the torch of freedom of which we so dearly cherish. Where I cut my teeth in this, a little bit about me for a moment, I cut my teeth in the gun rights fight, gun rights versus gun control. And I'll be honest with you, it's the trenches of World War I over there. You can check out the channel. It's called Langley Outdoors Academy. We have over 527,000 subscribers and over 100 million views. And that's all focused around basic principle. We're going to talk around the news of the day, what the gun controllers are attempting to do, and then we're going to formulate a plan and beat them back. That's as simple as it is. We're going to pass the blessing on to the next generation. And that premise resonates. And we're at the right point for it to go politics general. And that's what we're doing. That's what the Positively American podcast is all about. But as we go into this, I want to remind you of an underlying theme that's going to occur over and over and over again, because the opponents of freedom are the left. It's not the Democratic Party. It's the left. It is a social movement that is hundreds of years old, originating in the democracies and the kingdoms of centralized Europe, Russia, the empires, China, all these places that have experienced absolute tyranny, decided to go with tyranny by the mass amounts rather than tyranny by the individual. That's not what we're about, and we're going to fight it on a daily basis. But they utilize a few very common themes, which is one of the reasons that I do not espouse to this, other than the fact that it doesn't exist, or excuse me, doesn't make sense. It doesn't have an example that exists where it works, i.e. communism, centralized command, all these different pieces of the left's thought, the utopian ideal. But they market those ideals with manipulation, fear, sanctioned hatred, lies, deceit. The ends justify the means. Again, this is the left. This is not Democrats, because even Democrats see this. The only difference is where they fit on the spectrum in association to their views from the left. But that's what we're fighting. We're fighting a centralized power against our rights, because the rights of the individual must fall and yield to the rights of the collective. Everything that we're going to cover in this podcast is aimed towards highlighting that, because it's very clear to see, and it only comes down to painting that picture, and that's what we attempt to do. So make sure you guys let me know in the comments how this sounds. Make sure I'm landing this plane, as I tell my subscribers on the gun rights side. And leave some reviews, because we need to get this message out. But let's get to the soup du jour, now that I've kind of reassess the premise that we're at, let me show you something. This is what I'm calling an appetizer of Trump derangement syndrome. This is a progressive radio host talking about Trump. Listen to this, and you tell me what you think in those comments.
As soon as he takes the oath, he will have generals walk down the steps of the Capitol. He will take a hammer and break the glass where the Constitution is, and he will tear it up in our faces.
Mm.
And say, now, I'm the king of the fucking world. You will bow down, bitches. He will punish everybody that didn't vote for him. Let me tell y'all how I know this shit. I know it because I know what mental illness looks like.
Mm.
That mania is unstoppable. See, this motherfucker is Hitler.
Mm.
He didn't come to play.
Well, that spoke for itself, didn't it? And I would agree with one point in that appetizer of Trump derangement syndrome. She does indeed know what mental illness is. She must have a lot of mirrors. But again, go back to the point that I've illustrated multiple times, in the episodes that we've done prior. It's around fear. It's around sanctioned hatred, name-calling. Get your left base riled up so that they can go against the evil that is Trump, because it is a hatred that is sanctioned. Therefore, you are virtuous if you hate this man. So therefore, even though we are against hate of any kind in any form, if it's hate against Trump that is sanctioned by the leftist utopian driving ideals, so therefore, for the betterment of the collective, it is okay to hate this individual. Do you see how I tied that together? And I'm not a magician. It's pretty straightforward. You just have to highlight it and look at it from a macro zoomed out scale, which we're about to do across the board. Particularly when it comes to Biden's little push into what he's trying to do with the student loan forgiveness. But keep in mind, the student loan forgiveness thing that he's doing is a tremendous sign of weakness. Make no mistake, it is not a sign of strength. It is a sign of losing your base and trying to recoalesce all those that you need the support of your coalition because you've lost that support. Do you think it's any coincidence that the youth vote is evaporating and Biden comes out and says, you know what, that whole debt student relief thing that you guys like so much, a core constituency of my base, well, I know the Supreme Court said I couldn't do it and they kicked my butt again, but we're going to do it another way. And it's going to kick in just in time for the November elections. You cannot be more transparent if you tried. Now contrast that to the Trump move that he just made. Trump just made an abortion stance, which some people on the right would say is a concession towards the left or towards the middle. Trump is expanding. Biden is contracting. Again, understand what we're seeing. Biden is trying to reaffirm all of those on his side to rebuild the coalition and firm up his existing coalition, while on the other side, Trump is extending out to others involved and trying to get a broader coalition. One is a strategy of expansion. One is a strategy of contraction. This is incredibly important to see as we go forward. In fact, here's a few more points that we've seen over the past to supplement or buttress that point. What has Biden done recently? The Easter transgender proclamation, which he then forgot that he did and said he never did it. That was shoring up the base. That was going directly towards the LGBTQ community to make sure they knew he got them. Make sure you vote in November. Do you think that's a coincidence? And then the student debt relief plan that he's coming out, where he's basically just saying, hey, yeah, you signed on to the debt load. And yeah, you did agree to it, and yeah, you are getting the benefits of what you paid for, but it's such an unfair burden. The government will just take care of that for you. You won't need to pay any interest. Don't worry about any implications. It's not like that's going to affect inflation at all. But again, it's not about inflation. It's not about the overall good of the country. It's about the sacrifice of the individual for the collective in order to shore up the power base for your own power. That's what we're seeing. This is an experience to observe of coalition preservation versus coalition expansion. And we're about to get into each of these, but understand as we go through that, that's what we're seeing. So let's go to the first segment where NBC talks about Biden's little debt relief program, and we're going to tear that apart and probably break down a little bit more from some clips on CNN about why this would be a thing. So let's get to the first thing from NBC talking about the broad scope sweeping plan that he announced in Wisconsin in a college town. Shocker among shockers. Let's get it.
Biden plans to announce new proposals today to cancel billions of dollars in student loan debt. Biden administration officials have worked on this since the Supreme Court rejected the president's original plan for student loan relief. Ed O'Keefe is following all of this at the White House for us. Ed, good morning.
Vlad, good to see you. We're talking about a plan that the Biden administration says would wipe out student loan debt for 25 million Americans. It focuses on those who owe more than their original loans and would apply to people who started paying back undergrad loans 20 or more years ago, and those who started loan repayment on graduate studies at least 25 years ago. It's also for eligible participants in the SAVE and Public Service Loan Forgiveness plans who haven't applied, and others who can prove financial hardships prevent them from paying back their loans. The new plan likely faces legal challenges from Republican-led states that challenge the original executive order. If approved, officials say some people could start seeing relief by early this fall, just ahead of the elections. The president plans to lay this all out today in where else? Madison, Wisconsin, a big college town, Vlad, in a big swing state.
Wow. What are the odds? Beautiful people. Stalwart oaks of freedom. Young little saplings. What are the odds that he would release an announcement in Madison, Wisconsin to a core constituency group that is leaving and evaporating support for him at record numbers in a swing state? Oh, by the way, all of this is a snub of the nose at the Supreme Court, who said you cannot do what you just did through an executive order. You've even got Nancy Pelosi on certain outlets and recordings of her saying he can't do what he just did. And yet they do it anyway. Isn't it interesting how even NBC says, yeah, he's going to have a bit of a lawsuit issue because this executive order was already struck down. And, you know, that's part of it. No, it's not part of it. They are quite literally throwing everything out the door. Number one, it's unconstitutional. Number two, it's un-American. And number three, it's just manipulation for votes to maintain their own power. This is about preservation of coalition. Look, look, lefties. I know that thing that you signed on to pay for a degree of which we promised you would generate a wealthy job, which ironically is a complete conflict to everything you espouse on your wealth distribution points. But let's not talk about that, because it's you. You get to go to school, and you get to get the job, and you will have a good paying job, presumably to be a good loyal Democratic follower and supporter and financial supporter. But those mean evil people who make money, they are bad because they are the haves and we are the have-nots, even though you're aspiring to be the haves, but you're right now a have-not. But because the job that we promised you would be guaranteed if you had a piece of paper with no life experience whatsoever, because it's not working out, now we need to forgive those loan payments because you can't afford the things that you signed on to in your own available logic. Oh, by the way, let's not also talk about the fact that the price and the inflation cost of actual school degrees outpaces what you're going to earn coming out. So let's not do any kind of cost-benefit analysis there. No, it's not your fault. It's predatory lending. Interest is mean. So we're going to go ahead and take that tab as the taxpayer. Hey, quick question. What about everyone who finished their payments already? Are you going to reimburse everybody? Has school now been nationalized? Oh, you're not going to do that. Wait, that's weird. That doesn't really make sense. Why would we go down a road of it's not fair, interest is mean, loan forgiveness is the new hotness when you're only doing it for select people that happen to be in the youth demographic vote of which you will be benefit from a vote from? It's completely inconsistent. Not even mentioning the idea that the Supreme Court already said you cannot do this as you go on your bureaucratic tirade against the United States Constitution through your executive orders. This is all the presidency has been of the Biden administration, is him taking a pen and going, I do what I want. SCOTUS says, no, you can't. He goes, well, I'm going to do what I want anyway. We've seen it in gun rights, which is going to filter a lot into this podcast because that's exactly what they've done. They just make up rules as they want them. They redefine definitions inside existing law that's already been passed by changing the actual word meanings. And now all of a sudden, they've got these new powers. It's exactly what they've done. You can check out my channel on YouTube if you want to see it, because that's what we cover all the time. The ATF is the one that does that. You've got the CDC that got their hands smacked around in the Supreme Court case West Virginia versus EPA. That happened in 2022 or 3. I can't remember the exact year. But effectively, the EPA was redefining carbon dioxide as a toxin because they wanted to legislate it more. Again, executive bureaucratic overreach. Utilizing the executive system in order to push forward their own power and re-election. Oh, and by the way, at the exact same time, Biden has also come forward and said, hey, federal employees and bureaucrats, those who aren't responsible or accountable to the citizenry in the voting process, you guys, it's now harder to fire you through an executive order. He's shoring up his base because his coalition is falling apart. So what better way to do that than to violate the Constitution and do whatever you want to shore up your base, because after all, those payments are going to start in November, even though they're going to be halted by the Supreme Court. But I wonder why he's doing it. There's got to be some reason, right? Beautiful, genius people of the Positively American podcast. There's got to be something, right? Oh, there is. Let's jump over to CNN. I'm sure there's something there. And then after that, we're going to break down this Trump abortion stance.
Trump isn't behind. He's right. Ahead in every national poll. He's true. Ahead in most battleground states. And if the election were held today, despite 91 indictments, 4 federal trials, he's still ahead. That says a lot. And the fact is that President Biden is hemorrhaging support among African-Americans, among young voters, among other voters of color. They're not excited about him. And then when you throw in the slew of independent candidates, RFK, Cornel West, Jill Stein, it doesn't look great for the president in terms of his path of winning the election.
So let's...
And CNN just broke. Do you think it has anything to do with his actions right now? Because the left has promised a big, broad nanny state, which takes care of you and everything is bad, except your own choices, because after all, the government will take care of you. Sure, the state has promised you all of these things, and sure, the culture has said go to college and get a great job, and sure, the degree is not worth the paper it's printed on, and sure, you're paying into debt where you get a minimum wage job coming out because you have no job experience, but other than that, the government will take care of that tab because they were mean to you and you didn't know what was happening when you were getting a graduate degree. Okay. We might have a problem, people, and I promise you, it's not the conservative approach of work your butt off and make it in life, get some experience, and you'd be amazed where you go. No, it might just happen to be that the entire left promise of an outcome is completely built on lies. And when it falls apart, it has to blame the free market system that doesn't find value in what the left offered. And then they've got to fix their own problem through the taxpayer dime. It's very straightforward. You're looking at a coalition in preservation. But now let's go over to Trump. And this is a coalition expansion. Now, this is an interesting one, people. I'm going to be completely honest with you. The abortion topic is one that is exceedingly tight. You are either for or you are against. There's not a lot of wiggle room, and it's a very emotional topic. That's why this is an expansion. So before we go into this and hear from Trump, let me tell you kind of where I stand on this. And I think this is a rational position or a realistic position, but you can let me know what you think down in the comments field or in the reviews. So in my personal opinion, and again, I'm going to say personal and public here, in my personal opinion, abortion is a horrible thing. And the reason that I think that it's a horrible thing is you are killing a life. You are killing a child. In fact, that's one of the reasons that I turned away from the left when I was younger, was because the whole idea of making abortion a satisfactory, accepted idea of the left was that it wasn't a baby anymore and they were splitting hairs and changing definitions. Well, wouldn't you know it? Come forward, in order to do gun control, in order to do debt relief, in order to do abortion, you have to change definitions. It's all based on manipulation. Again, these themes are going to consistently bring you forward. I think abortion is killing a life. I personally think that it is an escape valve in most, and by saying most, a majority of cases, it's an escape valve to avoid the responsibility of your decisions at the cost of a life of an innocent. That's my view on it. But I also understand there are other views on it. See, the left has this requirement to be 100% in alignment with the furthest left position. And if you're not, you are verboten and you are a part of the enemy. You are the other side. We covered it in another podcast. And I'm sure it'll come up a lot more because it's an idea. It's one of their main tenets. So for me, if I have a large part of the population that says abortion is a right and it's a choice and it should be out of the government's hands, and then the other population, the other half, says, no, it's murder, it should be illegal federally, that's a pretty dug-in stance on both sides. The natural compromise solution there, again, from a public standpoint, not from my perception, but a public standpoint, is to let the states decide, which is the way that our entire government was built. Let states decide what's good for the people in the area of which they reside, and then the federal government will be minimized. That's the whole point of our system of government. Now, as we go through this, there's a reason that I led with my personal opinions, because now we're shifting into a public opinion piece. And I think this is a big part of what you're about to see with Trump. This is a massive deal because he just shifted the Republican narrative. He did. What effectively he said is it's up to states, not federal. And while that is not a perfect outcome for people who do not agree with abortion, I also understand we live in a nation where the first person to look more rational and to break from their dug-in position is going to appeal to a larger audience and is going to make more inroads into the middle towards a better outcome in the long term. And I think that's an important piece to decide, or excuse me, to factor in as we decide on where this stance goes on the conservative side of the aisle. I've already told you my personal. I think it is murder. I think it's killing an innocent in order for convenience. And I don't think that's acceptable. But I'm not everyone. And I can accept that. However, I do think it's important to look at what Trump just did, because now we're going into coalition expansion. Let me play some clips from this, because he had a 4-minute announcement, and this is an important thing to discuss in the right side of things, in the conservative side, because this is a key tenet, right? Life is precious. But listen to some of the things that he says here, and this is very fascinating, and we'll break it down a little bit more with some of the tabs of tyranny, because the Politico sees it too. Check it out.
The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, father, their beautiful babies, and that's what we are. IVF is an important part of that, and our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life.
So right off the bat, he's appealing to the value of life, the preciousness of life, which I think is a political requirement in this type of conversation. But he sets it up, and he's basically saying from his perspective, this is a valuable piece of our existence. This is our next generation. This is life. This is a beautiful gift. He's saying a lot of things that resonate with the pro-life side of this argument. And I think it's a smart way to do it. But again, he's trying to dance a line, and he's moving the needle in the Republican Party. Check this out. We're going to go into the second one, and all of this is tying together here in a second. But again, this is about expansion.
Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that.
So one of the things that stood out to me in this is he's trying to draw the contrast, right? This is a very important political assessment and analysis piece here. He's trying to draw the contrast between the Republicans who love life, the Republicans who want to preserve life. It's a precious gift. It's a beautiful baby. All of these things are positive around life. That's the pro-life ideal. Then you go into what he just said about contrasting that idea against the Democrat extremist issue, which they are extremist on this. They 100% are. Because they've gone down the road of if abortion's okay at 15 weeks, then it's not a baby. It's not a baby until it comes through a birth canal. Okay, well, that's kind of a silly position. Sorry. I mean, like, you're getting to a point now where you're splitting hairs and you're changing definitions so much that any single individual can look at something and go, okay, that's not what that is. You're taking this to the extremes. And that's what he just did. Because afterbirth abortion is murder, flat out. But he's doing a contrasting effort to say Republicans have a solid stance on this, but Democrats have an extreme stance on this. So he's drawn the contrast. He's set his own position. But now we get into the point where it gets to the changing of his policy, because we're going to listen to states versus federal here. This is key.
Unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people.
So he's breaking it down to will of the people on a state level. Now, he already said earlier in this little statement that he destroyed Roe v. Wade through his appointments to the Supreme Court. He did. That is not wrong. That is correct. His appointments led to the destruction of Roe v. Wade. Now, the problem with Roe v. Wade was it was quite literally a law or a right that was granted by the judiciary, and it was undone because it was stupid case law. Everyone knows it, and that's what he said. It's well known. So this is where it gets really, really uncomfortable, and I think this is an important piece that conservatives have to square away, and honestly, I think we are equipped to square it away. By putting this at a state level, Trump is doing a couple things, and this is what I really want to surmise out of this. On a political level, he is taking the fight. The number one punch that the left had was the abortion rights that Trump was going to destroy. He just neutered it. Because the whole point was Trump was going to come in as a president, and then he was going to destroy abortion rights forever, and he was going to ban it, make sure you vote, protect your bodies, it's our choice, all that kind of stuff. That was the whole punch. Outside of the abortion debate, the left didn't have a whole lot that they could hang their hat on. They've tried to do it with guns. Trust me, from my experience, they're not doing it with guns. It ain't working. We're honestly kicking their butt up and down the field on the gun side. And they don't want to tell you that, but it's true. And we're going to continue to. Little hat tip to all my gun channel supporters. But the piece here that other acknowledgement of politics is politics is downstream of culture. We all know it. Culture changes and politics follow. One of the things that I say on my channel all the time when we're talking about shootings or tragedies We have a problem in this country of our hearts and our minds. We don't have a problem in this country of what's in our hands. And I firmly believe the content around that topic translates directly into the abortion debate. We have allowed the culture to redefine personal choice as an excuse for murder at the altar of convenience. And that's what the culture accepts. We let the culture slip. Somehow along the road, we let it be the acceptable choice to take the easy road out and kill a child because you don't want to have that impact on your life based off of a decision that you made. Now, the left immediately starts screaming rape, incest, life of the mother. Okay, that is such a small infantile percentage of what we're talking about here. I'm not even addressing it. I'm talking about the broad overall impact because the left likes to do that. They like to dial into one example and then make it extrapolate across all examples. This is so key to understand because what Trump has done is he has neutered the Democrats' attack patterns. He has moderated his federal position on abortion, and he has left it up to the states, which mirror the original intent for the states to dictate the law of the land in the individual states for their representing their constituents and a smaller federal government. That is, by definition, exactly what the right wants in every scenario except for the actual topic. Of which I'm not saying I'm pro-abortion. I am abjectly not supporting in any way of that because that is a horrible, horrible thing. And one of the reasons, and I really want to keep coming back to this, people make mistakes. And I think it's a foolish idea to think that people don't make mistakes. We're all human. But to snuff out the possibility of something good coming out of that mistake is another mistake. You're doubling down on stupid, in my opinion. For example, what do I mean? What if one of the babies that was aborted because of a drunken night or a lapse in judgment or the mood was just right or the candles flickered perfectly, the meal was amazing, he lied to me, he said all these great things, or inverse, she said we were protected and she was on birth control. We can do this all day long, both sides. What if one of the children that was aborted solved one of the left's main problems? What if we're missing out on solutions for our entire country coming out of what was deemed as a mistake in the short term, but is a blessing in the long term? Have you thought about that? What if an alternative fuel came around to solve the, air quotes, climate change problem, to save the planet that the left always wants to do? What if the answer was in one of those babies? What if they grew up and figured out a way to use hydrogen to fuel every single thing that we have on this planet and give us limitless energy? What if they unlocked a battery technology that had never been thought of before, and now we can store the limitless power from the sun through solar? What if all of those things were possible, but because we snuffed out the life before it even started, what did we lose? Let's go back in history. Think of all the impactful people that would have been left potentially on the altar of convenience if that choice was given. Think of your invention. Think of a computer. Think of a car. Think of a camera. Think of electricity. All the things that were brought about by people who were not born in amazingly perfect, ideal situations benefited the collective society because they were individuals that were given a chance. That's where I stand on it. But again, this is coming down to the states. We've lost the culture, and the politics are now reflecting it. And I want to say one more thing before we go to the tabs of tyranny here, where we're going to dive into Politico, because it reinforces what I'm trying to say. But let's do this last clip, and then we'll hit it.
Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture, and in fact, to save our country, which is currently and very sadly a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it.
So what he's basically saying there is he supports the option for rape, incest, and murder. He's taking more out of the left, the less attack patterns in that topic. That's what he's doing. I mean, that's very, very straightforward. Compares himself to Ronald Reagan, endearing himself to the right. I mean, this is a prepared statement which is meant to move a policy toward more towards the middle or towards the left, and then also appeal to the individual voters, the independents. That's what we're doing here. And at the same time, you have the benefit of neutering the Democrat attack pattern. That's what just happened. But now let me show you some stuff from Politico. And like I thought, we aren't going to have time to go into the rock stuff. But let's get into this. So I got a tab of tyranny here, and this is from the Politico website. I'm just going to run through a few things that I think kind of solidify this point. Former President Donald Trump was facing pressure from anti-abortion activists on the right to embrace a national ban. Kellyanne Conway, his 2016 campaign manager, who later became his White House counselor, was arguing for a 15-week ban. So was South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, Trump's long-term ally. And a few of these things I really want to hit here because this goes towards the political piece. In the end, Trump couldn't get past the feeling that it was a loser with voters. That's what I was talking about earlier with politics being downstream from culture. The culture has lost on this, and that's why he's doing this, because the broad base appeal of the left has the grip on this because it's about convenience and about emotional response. It is a lesson he learned through hard political experience, most importantly in the 2022 elections. And to the credit of Politico, I'm not usually in agreement with Politico because they're leftist rag in most cases. But that is true. The abortion debate was wielded with brutal efficiency during the 2022 election by the Democrats. It was, flat out. In fact, like I said earlier, that's all they have. But listen to what he says to Senator Lindsey Graham, and I think this is a very important piece of what the calculus here is, and I think, honestly, from a political standpoint alone, this is sound. Again, I do not like abortion at all, but on a political, separated out, no emotion piece, politically, it does make sense. Senator Lindsey Graham is doing a great disservice to the Republican Party and to our country, Trump wrote in response to Graham on Truth Social. People like Lindsey Graham that are unrelenting are handing Democrats their dream of the House, Senate, and perhaps even the presidency. That right there is the whole point. Trump, the great evil Trump, who is his way or the highway, who will never move, is not malleable, has no ability to self-reflect and change, just self-reflected, observed, and then changed. But what he's saying is, if you do not moderate to the point where the states make the choice and you give the people representation, the will of the people, like he said, you will lose and it will be even more catastrophic on this exact same topic. That's what he's saying. Does he have a point? I mean, you guys, comments, reviews, throw it down there, share it out. But understand that this is a shift and a coalition enhancing move, not a coalition preservation, tying it back to my earlier point. And as we said earlier, you're going to have the people on the right who are abjectly opposed to this, and I completely understand that point. Following Trump's decision on Monday, his former vice president, Mike Pence, called it a slap in the face to millions of pro-life Americans who voted for him in 2016 and 2020. That's, like I said earlier, it's the right who is dedicated to pro-life is going to be pissed about this. I wouldn't expect them not to be. But at the same time, does Trump have a point where you're either going to lose the House, the Senate, and the presidency over this issue because you stood so steadfast in not wielding and not yielding at all. And then they're going to do everything of your worst desires and your worst dreams. Or you make it to the states and the will of the people, and then you gain a foothold of power and you push it back that way. I'm just saying, politically, taking emotion out of it, which is a hallmark of the left, emotional reactions and responses, if you take the emotion out of it, and I know it's not easy to do, and I'm not suggesting that you do it, I'm specifically saying only from a political lens. It makes sense on a sterile environment. But we don't live in a sterile environment. And that's why there's all sorts of complications. Because people are emotional, and emotions do interfere. And I have no issue with that because it's a part of a healthy debate. But I want to throw one more thing out here as I wrap up this episode. You must follow your heart on this issue, Trump said. But remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently and very sadly a nation in decline. I want to hit something one more time of that. And I think this is a very important piece which can be lost in the weeds of purity of ideas. Remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture. What I said prior was we've lost the culture around this topic because we have a problem of our hearts and our minds, a sickness in the hearts and the minds of our people, not in our hands. So if you have to take the realm of power back and you have to take the wheel of power back, the only way you can change that culture is from that point or from the cultural grassroots, which is going to change it over time. And at which point, you're going to have a lot more victories for your opponents as you change the culture. Now, will that pendulum swing? Abso-frickin-lutely. And it's about to swing hard. But his point here is, remember, you still have to win elections. And if you let the culture slip away, you have to moderate your position temporarily. And I say temporarily on purpose, in order to get the reins of power and move the culture back in the other direction. Because we were derelict in maintaining the culture and we lost it. And now we got to fight backwards uphill. Those are my thoughts, though. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. And please let me know in the reviews. That would be great. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next one. I'm Braden. See you later.